Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Friday Eve, a.k.a. Thursday. What a gorgeous day in eastern Iowa. I'm still being told the mobile studio is not a go. We gotta put our minds together, Isaac, and get this mobile studio, just being able to go outside whenever we want, like, put it together and get it to actually be a thing. Welcome in, Spencer on Sports, on a gorgeous Thursday afternoon, April 13th of 2023. Talking sports with you for the next 54 minutes or so. 319-366-1600, lots to get to per usual in the short time we have together. Get to some basketball. The play-in, play is on. And two road teams ended up winning last night. Don't usually see that in the play-in tournament in the NBA. We'll get to that as the Chicago Bulls have an opportunity to get the number 8 seed in the East. If they win on Friday, we'll tell you about that and go through the interesting challenge that the Toronto Raptors had at the free throw line last night. If you watched the game last night, you heard, well, you probably heard what I'm referencing. Let's just leave it at that. And we'll get to the reaction to that coming up in our second segment. Got some college basketball news and notes to get to. Some players that are leaving, some players that are staying, some players that will not be going to certain spots. We got all that covered for you in the next segment as well. Got to get to baseball too today. Get to some college baseball, some minor league baseball as well. Also watching the scoreboard today. SportsCenter covered this at top of the hour a few moments ago. Tampa Bay Rays going for 13 straight wins to open the season. They were trailing in the game in the fifth inning. They scored 7 runs in the bottom half of the fifth and now lead Boston 8-3 as they look to complete that sweep of the Red Sox and move to 13-0 on the season. They continue to be one of the biggest stories in baseball. Run through that, take a look at the rest of the scoreboard for today, including the regional teams in action. Got a handful of them playing later on tonight under the lights in their respective ball games tonight. Get to those coming up in just a little bit as well. We're going to start, though, with the world of football. Haven't had a ton of chance to talk about specifically the NFL, but we are officially 2 weeks out from the first round of the NFL draft, which I don't want to say it snuck up on us. We've always been kind of like focused on that once the college football season and the NFL season two came to a close. Looking at who's going to go where, seeing their workouts at, you know, the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Bowl, the NFL Combine, and mock drafts upon mock drafts upon mock drafts. We've been having mock drafts for, God, it feels like ages, even since the start of the college football season last year, the way too early NFL mock drafts, which turn out wrong 99.9% of the time. But we are getting closer and closer, like I said, 2 weeks away from the first round in Kansas City, and we'll get to some thoughts from some of the experts from ESPN about what might happen at the top of the NFL draft coming up here momentarily. But first, we'll remind you, you're listening to the show here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 on the FM dial in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in the Iowa City, Coralville area. Also stream us live at KGYMradio.com. We're also available on our smartphone app. Head to your app store, download it. Pull up the stream, play it right there. You can actually stream all of the stations involved, that shouldn't say involved, but that are owned by our company. So if you really like rock music, you want to stream our sister station, X107.5, after our local shows are done, of course. I want you to stick with KGYM between 2 and 6, but you want to listen to some alternative rock, pull up X107.5, Z102.9, Smart FM, and so on, all there for you in our free-to-download app. 319-366-1600 is the talker text line. If you got thoughts to share with us here today, our poll question just updated at KGYMradio.com. Very simple question considering The result we just told you about, the in-progress result of the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox from the Trop in Florida. Are the Tampa Bay Rays ever going to lose? Yes or no? What do you think? Are they ever going to lose? Early leader in the clubhouse is yes. We detailed their upcoming schedule, I think on yesterday's show, but we'll take another look at that. Maybe predict when they might drop their first game. But they are on their way. Bottom of the sixth inning, chance to add to their 8-3 lead against Boston here today. More on baseball coming up in just a bit. But as I said, let's jump in with football. Been a little bit since we've looked at a mock draft. Not really much has changed. There are so many of them out there, as we know. Isaac and I were talking after producer Isaac, by the way, who's along for the ride every day here in our local shows. he and I were talking, and there's some mock drafts, and I think we both come to agreement. I think you out there in listener land can agree too. I think some mock drafts are just out there for the sake of being different. It does you no good if you're a sports writer, right, to have the exact same thing as your colleagues at another network have. Like, what's the point of doing it then if you're just going to copy and paste what, you know, Mel Kiper has in his draft and you work for Fox Sports? It doesn't make sense. So some of these are kind of, you know, they're bold, but they're meant to be conversation starters. And yeah, who knows? Stranger things have happened. Teams have traded up, make it a pick at, you know, number two, number three, number four, whatever it may be in the first round. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it fails epically and people get fired. That's just the nature of the NFL, right? But when it looks when you look at the top of the draft board, and this is looking at Mel Kiper's latest mock draft from earlier in the week, it's kind of still that back and forth. And we talked about this last week, the back and forth of, okay, some folks think it's going to be C.J. Stroud, the quarterback from Ohio State, who's going to be the number one overall pick for Frank Reich and the Carolina Panthers. Some say it's going to be Bryce Young. I personally, I don't think you could go wrong with either of the two. I think they're both fine quarterbacks. Both will have, at least in my humble opinion, successful NFL careers. You know, I mean, I say that now, and, you know, we look back just a few short years in the draft, in the 2021 draft, and, you know, I think a lot of us thought maybe Zach Wilson had a solid future in the NFL, and, well, he's pretty much on his way out in New York. So we don't know, but, you know, if you look at their track record of success, you know, at both Alabama and Ohio State, respectively, I think we can all say that if collegiate success is an indicator of pro success, which it all, you know, not necessarily the case, I think both of them have fine NFL careers. It's all about, you know, developing them, building their skill set at the pro level. So I don't think either franchise could really go wrong. But when it comes to what Mel Kiper thinks, in his latest mock draft from earlier in the week at ESPN.com, he's kind of made the flip from Bryce Young being number two to Houston, or going number two to Houston, to now putting Bryce Young at the top spot, having him go number one overall to the Carolina Panthers, with Stroud going number two to Houston. And then it gets kind of interesting. And this was reflected in the mock draft from Kiper. Also from league sources telling ESPN's Adam Schefter that the Arizona Cardinals at number three, they sounds more and more like, and this might be just, you know, trying to put some news out there on the Cardinals' behalf to see if there's anybody who will make a crazy offer for their pick. But according to Adam Schefter, there are at least six teams that have inquired with the Cardinals about trading up for the third overall pick in the draft that starts in 2 weeks. Sources telling ESPN that the Cardinals are still mulling whether to move the pick, trade it for future picks. Maybe you throw in, a player of interest for the Cardinals, or are they just going to make the pick and you know, try to make the best of the situation that they have? As we just talked about, the two teams in front of them, Carolina and Houston, are expected to pick quarterbacks with the first and second picks, respectively. Cardinals don't necessarily need a quarterback, although Kyler Murray, he's hurt, number one. Number two hasn't necessarily lived up to I think what the Cardinals have expected of him. So at the same time, I don't think the Cardinals would go quarterback at number three if they are to keep the pick. So you're thinking about maybe a defensive player, maybe a Will Anderson or a Jalen Carter in that spot. You know, it certainly would make sense considering the Cardinals lost J.J. Watt this offseason to retirement. So if the Cardinals keep the pick, it would make sense that they would go defense or maybe a position of need. But if they trade it, would that mean a run on quarterbacks? And, you know, it's pretty clear cut, I think, at least, that you're going to see that top two of Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud with one and two in the mock draft, or in the draft period, not the mock draft, but the real draft coming up in 2 weeks. But then who's number three? Who's number four? And according to Mel Kiper, he thinks there's going to be a run on quarterbacks. He has the Tennessee Titans, coming up, trading up with Arizona, getting the third overall pick, and then spending that on Anthony Richardson. And then Indianapolis at number four, taking Will Levis from Kentucky. So could potentially be four quarterbacks if this holds true. Again, it's just a prediction. It's not anything that's set in stone, but we're going to find out in short order here, just coming up in 2 weeks, how greatly teams value the quarterbacks other than Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, and which one of the other two, Richardson or Levis, is next in line. That's kind of the interesting part. Are we going to see a run in quarterbacks? Does what Arizona chooses to do with the pick, does that influence decisions by other teams? Of course, you remember, if Tennessee does indeed, and this is just a projection again, but Tennessee, if they move up, remember they just drafted Malik Willis a year ago. Now, granted, in the limited sample size we have, he was not very good, but they just drafted a quarterback. So are they giving up already on Malik Willis, or are they just building for the future with maybe Willis and somebody else? We don't know what they might be thinking there, but kind of interesting to see how that is, how that's all going to play out. Because then once you get past what could be quarterback palooza to start the draft, then, at least according to Mel Kiper, it becomes defense and offensive linemen. The exciting picks, right? Defense wins championships. You got to take them someplace. But it gets kind of interesting beyond that, because you see in Kiper's draft, Jalen Carter going fifth to Seattle, Will Anderson going to Detroit. I mean, come on. Lions with Aiden Hutchinson and Will Anderson on the same team, and potentially Bijan Robinson on their... it's just unfair. Come on, Lions. You're not supposed to be good. Sorry, Lions fans. I'm just whining as a Packer fan here in the studio, but that would be a heck of a defense if the Lions are able to get Will Anderson, Aiden Hutchinson, Malcolm Rodriguez. Are reading some stuff about him, who picked in last year's draft, obviously, but they like him a lot there, and they just got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, didn't they? Lions did. So, yeah, they're building a good team in Detroit. And Lions fans deserve a good team. But Will Anderson would definitely take that defense to another level. And then you see guys like Devin Witherspoon, Nolan Smith off the board. Kiper has the Bears taking Darnell Wright, the offensive lineman from Tennessee, at number 9. Then Peter Skoronski from Northwestern, number 10. Going to Philadelphia. So that's the top 10 when it comes to what Mel Kiper thinks. He talked about his projection a little bit. This was from Canty and Carlin this week, talking about why he thinks Tennessee is primed to move up and possibly make a trade with Arizona, be one of those teams that might be interested in coming up in the draft. Here's what Kiper had to say on ESPN Radio.
Arizona wants out. We know that. Who's going to trade up in there? I was told Indianapolis may not. They may just sit at 4. So the old trade I had in Mach 3.0 of Indy going up one spot, I didn't make that move. I had Tennessee where Anthony Richardson visited Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill's there maybe for one more year, and that would be a good bridge to the next quarterback, which Anthony Richardson needs a little bit of time. You know, he only had 13 starts at Florida, so he needs to work on his accuracy and his mechanics throwing the football. So it would would be a good situation for him. You could use him in packages running the football like the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson when they had Joe Flacco here as the starting quarterback that first year, if you remember. So a scenario like that could be in place for Tennessee going up from 11 to 3.
ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. from Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Some other notables from Mel's mock draft from earlier this week. He has the backers going tight end in the first round. Green Bay, they need a tight end. Their only tight end left on the roster is Josiah DeGuara, the, what is he, third-year guy out of Cincinnati? And then I think Tyler Davis, too, trying to remember some guys from the Green Bay Packers. But interestingly enough, and this mock draft was put out before the Packers had a pre-draft meeting with Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame this week. But Kiper has the Packers taking Dalton Kincaid from the University of Utah at the number 15 overall selection. He has Detroit. I mentioned Bijan Robinson potentially ending up in Detroit. Bijan and David Montgomery on the same team. That's going to be a heck of a backfield if it ends up being that way. But he has Bijan number 18. Lucas Van Ness, a little bit lower than I think most mocks have Lucas Van Ness going. Most of them have Van Ness in the top 15, top 10, right around 10. If you look at some different mocks out there, I think Todd McShay had him number 10, and I know The Athletic did as well. A couple of guys from CBS did too, but Kiper has Van Ness going 24th to Jacksonville, which that'd be fun. I mean, Jacksonville's got a solid defense being built up already. They went two first-round picks last year on the defensive side with Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd, and then you add in potentially Lucas Van Ness. I think it's one heck of a building block there for Jacksonville if it does happen that way. And Chiefs fans, I'm sure you'd love to hear Kiper project Will McDonald to go to your team at number 31 overall. This was a two-round mock. There were tons of notable names, but only one with Iowa ties in the second round was Jack Campbell going to Detroit. And you talk about Detroit building a heck of a defense, heck of a team in general. If they're able to get Will Anderson, Bijan Robinson, and Jack Campbell in the first two rounds, I hate draft grades, but give them the A. Give them the A. You may as well do it now. But that's at least the thoughts right now from Mel Kiper earlier this week. I'm sure we'll get more from him and Todd McShay coming up within the next several days and weeks leading up to the draft. Again, 2 weeks away. The first round is the 27th of April from Kansas City. Rounds 2 and 3 on Friday, rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. And we've got the radio coverage coming up for you from ESPN Radio. On all three of those days, we'll have primetime coverage here on all of our frequencies. The other big story in the NFL is the Washington Commanders reportedly have an agreement in principle to sell the team. The Josh Harris Group reportedly in agreement with Dan Snyder to sell the team for $6 billion. And the deal, if it is approved, will set an NFL record for the most expensive sale in league history. The previous record was set last year when the heirs of the Walmart fortune, the Walton Penner Group, purchased the Denver Broncos for $4.65 billion. This Harris Group is chaired by Josh Harris. Like I mentioned, he owns the Sixers and the New Jersey Devils. And his group in the Commanders bid reportedly includes billionaire Mitchell Rales, as well as Mr. Spicy Hot Takes on Twitter himself, Magic Johnson. He probably wouldn't be allowed to tweet about the Washington Commanders, would he? Great throw by Sam Howell. He's a fine young quarterback. Thanks, Magic. Really appreciate your insight. So it sounds like this deal's going down. Adam Schefter did tweet moments before the show today that the group, the ownership pitch made by, and I'm going to butcher this name, Steve Apostolopoulos, I think I said that right, is still being considered. I have some conflicting information there, it sounds like. But it sounds like the sale's going to go through. Commanders fans everywhere. Washington football team fans are probably rejoicing, popping a little champagne maybe. I think maybe you're saving that for the end of the end of the reign of Dan Snyder. But sounds like that the sale is set to be agreed upon. It has to be approved, though, by three quarters of NFL ownership. There is a spring meeting scheduled next month where final approval could take place. 319-366-1600, a little football talk to get us started. Move on to the hardwood. We got NBA talk from last night. The Bulls playing on as they will take on Miami for the number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. Also, Oklahoma City with an upset win last night on the road. We'll get to that, plus some college basketball news and notes on the other side of this timeout. Spencer on Sports with you on the gym for a Thursday afternoon.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. We'll have plenty of sun and plenty of wind today. That'll boost temperatures into the low 80s. We'll also have red flag warnings in place due to the strong winds and dry conditions, leading to elevated fire danger. Outdoor burning should be avoided. As we head into tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and breezy as well, with temperatures in the upper 70s. Clouds will build in later on in the day. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay, they'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Save big money on your next project with 11% off at Menards. Transform your home with a new garage door from Ideal Door. Menards carries more than 10 different garage doors across 4 different sizes. In stock today. Give your home the update it deserves and get a 9x7 insulated garage door with windows for $629.99 after 11% rebate. Good through April 16th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Take your favorite sports talk programming with you anywhere on the go with a free KGYM Sports Radio app. Local sports talk in the afternoon and ESPN all day, right in your pocket. Hang out with your friends from the gym by searching KGYM Sports Radio in the App Store today.
Back at 227 with Spencer at Sports on this Thursday afternoon. Gorgeous day. Hope you're able to enjoy it. Sounds like the weather's going to change over the weekend back to, I guess, real spring. We could deal with it. Although the teaser in April is what gets you, right? You're like, 70s and 80s, nice sunshine, and then bam, bottom drops out. Midwest, I tell you. Get you every time. 319-366-1600. 9-3 Tampa leading Boston. That game in the headed to the eighth inning. Rays are six outs away from 13-0 on the season. That's our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Are the Tampa Bay Rays ever going to lose? Yes or no? They're going to lose, or are they going 162-0? Be pretty hard. That'd be impressive. We talk about like the worst and the best baseball teams of all time, the worst baseball teams of all time. I would just be so impossible. Like 16-0 is attainable. Like you can do that. 12-0 is attainable in college football. 16-0 attainable, and you know, well, I guess it's 17 now in the NFL. But I mean, 162 straight games without a loss. Could you imagine if that actually happened? That's like impossible. I just feel like that would, if that ever happened, even like the best, I feel like the best, like the super teams in baseball, you get like a super team of the superstars, and eventually they're going to slip up. 162-0. I don't think we'll ever see that in our lifetime. Be impressive if it did. If we did, be crazy to think if it ever happened. But are the Tampa Bay Rays ever going to lose? That's our poll question to KGYMRadio.com. Also, a rather entertaining game going on in Baltimore right now. You wouldn't anticipate Orioles and A's to be entertaining, but it has been. We'll tell you why coming up in our baseball segment here this morning. But I promise you, basketball talk. NBA play-in tournament continues, and we had two road teams win. Two 10 seeds. It was the 9 seeds versus the 10 seeds last night in the play-in tournament. And entering this year, play-in tournament's still relatively new, but entering this year, 10 seeds were 0-4 in the play-in tournament until last night. Chicago, nice win. Impressive stuff. Down 19 in that game. Came back to win 109-105. Zach LaVine with 39, 30 of those in the second half. DeMar DeRozan with 23. Nikola Vucevic with 14 and 13, 14 points, 13 boards. That was enough to get past Toronto with Pascal Siakam scoring 32, Fred VanVleet, Rockford's own with 26 and 12, and Scotty Barnes with 19 and 10. Bulls moving on to take on the Miami Heat. One game left for them. Still a win-or-go-home game, win-or-go-home situation. But an opportunity to carry maybe a little bit of momentum into the official start of the playoffs. Tall task ahead of them because the winner will face off with the Milwaukee Bucks here in the first round of the playoffs coming up here this weekend. But opportunity maybe to carry some momentum for either one of those teams. Bulls this season, like I said, the 10 seed going into last night's game, but showing some fight in a win-or-go-home game. And getting things done on the road last night with the win. Kind of an interesting scenario or interesting kind of aid or help to the Bulls last night. You might not think anything of it, but when you look at the stats from last night's game, unlikely source of some help coming from the crowd. Usually, you know, the crowd does they wave the thunder sticks. Maybe they have a big head of, you know, I don't know, whoever it might be, to try to get the free throw a shooter to miss a shot. Well, last night, and if you watched the game, you probably heard the moment happen. Each time there was a free throw shooter, of course, playing at Toronto, you know, there's not going to be anybody trying to distract the free throw shooter for Chicago because, you know, home crowd wants the home team to make the shots. But you heard kind of an interesting you know, thing happened. Interesting little helper from the crowd. Here's what it sounded like on ESPN radio last night.
They are 18 for 34 at the line. Siakam, oh, he came up short. That one never had a chance when it left his hands.
Woefully short.
And if the daughter of DeMar DeRozan's screech wasn't loud then, she's going to get extra loud here. Down two, 12 seconds to go, one free throw. Siakam's free throw rolls out. No good. Rebounded by the Bulls.
DeMar DeRozan's daughter screeching in the background. You heard it right there on the clip. Each time the Raptors made a free throw, I think it was the entire game. I noticed it, you know, at certain points. But obviously when they're shooting down towards the end where she's sitting, it was more prevalent. But in the end, it worked. They were 18 of 36 from the free throw line. 50%, which, I mean, it's not awful, but still considering you had 36 shots at the free throw line and you only made 18 of them. That's not good if you're Toronto. That ultimately could have won you the game. But DeMar DeRozan's daughter playing the unlikely hero from last night's game in whatever way she could, being in the stands. And you have to hope, and I'm sure the Bulls and their fans are hoping, that she brings some of that magic to Miami coming up on Friday night for that game where they're playing for the 8th seed against the Heat. Here's what DeMar had to say about his daughter's quote-unquote defense.
You know your daughter was good at free throw defense?
Man, I just seen it. She went viral. I haven't let it soak in yet. Everybody keeps saying, you know, but that's all right. I kept hearing something during the game, then it was one free throw, somebody missed, and I looked back, and I was like, damn, that's my daughter screaming? So I'm just making sure she was all right, though.
making sure she's all right. That's number one as a parent, right? You make sure your daughter's okay. She's not shrieking for any other reason. But no, she was just shrieking to make Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet miss their free throws last night. So it worked. Bulls win, move on, and they'll play for the 8th seed. Some good news if you're a Bulls fan. Still got to win on Friday, of course, but the trends have been in your favor this weekend, or this season, I should say. The Bulls have had the Heat's number. They were 3-0 against Miami this year, outscoring them about 114-103 this season in those matchups. The Bulls looking to be the 8th seed, like I said. And the winner of that contest on Friday will move on to play Milwaukee. Game one at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee is set for 4:30 on Sunday. Some interesting little stats here. If you're a stat geek like I am, 8 seeds are 5-73 against number one seeds in the first round since the playoffs expanded in 1984. The Bulls are on the wrong side of history. The last time an 8 seed beat a one was 2012 when the Sixers beat the Bulls back then. That's the last time it happened. The Grizzlies beat the Spurs in 2011. And then 2007, the Warriors beat the Mavs in the first round as the 8th seed. So hasn't happened all that much. Has not happened in 21 years. And as a Bucks fan, I will selfishly say I hope it does not happen for the first time in 21 years. It can happen in the West. Sorry, Nuggets fans. Happened to you, not to my team. Please, don't need that embarrassment. But Bulls and Heat will look for that right to play Milwaukee coming up this weekend. The other game last night was a good one, and a lot of talk today about Zion Williamson and his future in New Orleans. Of course, did not play, was injured, and you have to wonder if he was healthy. Are the Pelicans even in the play-in? I think it's a fair question to ask, but the Pelicans lose to Oklahoma City 123-118. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 32. Josh Giddey, 31-10. And Lou Dort, one of the great names in basketball, Lou Dort with 27. For the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram scored 30. Trey Murphy had 21. Herb Jones had 20. And Jonas Valanciunas with a double-double of 16 points and 18 rebounds. Josh Giddey talking about the offensive strategy last night against the Pelicans, what was working for him?
I knew that when they were trying to take the ball out of Shai's hand, I had to be aggressive, had to make plays, whether that was scoring or finding other guys, just forcing the defense to make a decision. And, you know, some of the night that was getting downhill, finishing at the rim, or, you know, floaters, or when the defense collapsed onto me, kicking out the shooters or drop off to layups and dunks. So making the right read. And as I said, we're going to continue to see that same, you know, coverages with Shai. And I'm going to have to, you know, learn how to play out of that pocket and, you know, create advantages out of, you know, 4-on-3 situations.
Josh Giddey from the Thunder there last night talking after their 123-118 win over the New Orleans Pelicans. So it will be OKC and Minnesota coming up Friday night. So two regional teams. We'll have both those games tomorrow night here on KGYM from ESPN Radio. Bulls and Heat first at 6, followed by the Thunder and the Wolves at 8:30. Timberwolves, just like the Bulls, they've had some good success this season. In the regular season, playoffs, of course, can be a different animal, but T-Wolves won 3 of 4 against the Thunder this season, but all four games were decided by 10 points or less. So close game, maybe the tide turns in the Thunder's favor, who knows, but it is going to be an interesting game. Rudy Gobert is expected to be back for the T-Wolves on Friday. Of course, he had that suspension for the Lakers game earlier this week. T-Wolves collapsed, lost that game in OT to the Lakers. Now their season on the line. At least they'll have Gobert back for that game again coming up tomorrow night at 8:30. Winner will move on to play Denver in the first round. That game is set for 9:30 on Sunday night from the Mile High City. That's latest from the NBA. One other thing, interesting note here, there's some Iowa ties, of course, with going back to the Raptors game from last night for just a moment. Iowa ties, of course, with Nick Nurse, the Iowa native, and a lot of talk about, is he going to be back in Toronto after a disappointing finish to the year? They were, 41-41 on the season, so even 500 playing in the play-in, did not get out of the play-in, What is the future like for Nick Nurse in Toronto? ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski offered this about the Iowa native and his time in Toronto.
Certainly a lot of speculation about Nick Nurse's future in Toronto. Some of it fueled by his comments recently that he wanted to take some time after the season and think about what a future in Toronto looks like for him, if it's there. He's still under contract next season. I know this, that both Nick Nurse, Masai Ujiri, you know, they have been communicating lately. I think there's still very much a pathway forward for Nick Nurse with the Raptors beyond this postseason. He's 15-10 since Jakob Poeltl arrived in that trade deadline deal. It's been an improved team. And so I think those conversations with Masai Ujiri, Nick Nurse, they're going to take place after this season. But I still think, again, both sides believe there's a way forward here. If there isn't, especially the Houston Rockets, they're monitoring what goes on with Nick Nurse. I think he's very high on their list if he becomes available.
Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN, that clip from before the Raptors lost last night. So you have to imagine those discussions are taking place as we speak today. We've got NBA Today on here in the studio. Did not see any breaking news come across, but they were talking about the same concept, Raptors future, with Nick Nurse, Fred VanVleet, and others going forward up there in Toronto. So that's the latest there. Mentioned a few college basketball notes, a few different things coming across the wire here today. One of special interest to Iowa fans, this coming across earlier this afternoon, about an hour ago. Jordan Miner, the transfer from Merrimack, who had Iowa in his top four coming out of the transfer portal, he will not be taking his talents to Iowa City. He will no longer be making a visit to Iowa City. He announced on Twitter he has committed to play basketball at the University of Virginia. So cross Jordan Miner off your potential ads list for Fran McCaffrey this off season. Some news within the last day or two. BJ Mack, the other target that was still kind of out there that had expressed interest in playing at Iowa, the transfer from Wofford, he is still slated to visit Iowa City starting Sunday this week, per different sources who cover recruiting here for the national side of things. But BJ Mack still scheduled to visit this weekend, but Jordan Miner from Merrimack announcing he picked Virginia here and will not continue his visit to Iowa City and Fran McCaffrey in the program there. Another piece of news, former Hawkeye Jack Nungy announcing on social media this afternoon he is not going to return to play basketball at Xavier next season. Of course, played the last two seasons at Xavier. Got to won the NIT last year, helped them win the NIT last year, made a nice tournament run this year, but he is not going to return for his final season at Xavier. That's announced earlier today. 319-366-1600 at 243. We'll take a quick 90-second break, back with some baseball. We'll get you that scoreboard update here in just a moment. Spencer at Sports at the Gym.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Tomorrow on ESPN Radio. It's a win or go home. Play-in doubleheader. First in Miami, the Heat face the Chicago Bulls. Then in Minneapolis, it's the T-Wolves and Oklahoma City Thunder.
One night, two games. It's win or go home.
Hear the play-in tournament action tomorrow night at 6 on the Gym. Back with you at 2:44. Spencer on Sports with you here for a Thursday afternoon at 319-366-1600. Talk some football, talk some basketball. Moving on to baseball here in just a moment. A couple other basketball notes I wanted to mention. To the NBA real quick, if you're looking at those games tomorrow night from a betting perspective, the Heat and the Wolves are your favorites tomorrow night. Heat, about a 5.5-point favorite. Looks like across the board at all the major sports books, and Minnesota, a 5.5-point favorite at most major sports books as well. Again, the winner gets the 8 seed in their respective conference. Loser is done for the season. We'll have those games again for you coming up tomorrow here on KGYM. Also from the college side of things, would be remiss if I did not mention another award. No one's surprised. Caitlin Clark getting another award today. She was named the Honda Sport Award winner for basketball. It was announced by the Collegiate Women Sports Awards. Honda Sports Award has been handed out for the last 47 years to the top women athletes in 12 different NCAA-sanctioned sports. Clark chosen by a vote from administrators from over 1,000 NCAA schools. She, along with Aaliyah Boston, Mackenzie Holmes, and Maddie Segrist, were the finalists. So another award for Caitlin Clark, the Honda Sport Award that was announced earlier today. 319-366-1600, checking out the Major League scoreboard. The Rays in the top of the ninth, two outs away from 13-0. Rays with a big bottom half of the fifth, 7 runs in the bottom half of the fifth. Harold Ramirez, I see, didn't plan on remembering some guys today, but here we are. I see H. Ramirez on a box score. Harold Ramirez had a bases-clearing double to cap off that 7-run fifth, and I immediately, my brain goes to Hanley Ramirez, formerly of the, they were the Miami Marlins at that time. I think Florida, I have to look up that, but Hanley Ramirez, formerly of the Marlins. I see H. Ramirez. That's where my brain goes to. Remember Hanley Ramirez? It's Harold Ramirez. 3-for-4 with 3 RBI. Brandon Lowe. Don't call him Brandon Lowe. Brandon Lowe, L-O-W-E, just like Josh Lowe. Same spelling, same team, different pronunciation. Brandon Lowe with a solo home run in the seventh to help the Rays extend that lead. Like I mentioned, now 2 outs away from 13-0. Their upcoming schedule looks like this, if you're curious. And to answer the poll question, I think I kind of answered it yesterday, but the Rays have 3 in Toronto this weekend. I predict they will lose one of those games. They're not going to lose to Cincinnati. Don't tell Scott Unesh, but I don't think they're going to lose to the White Sox. If they somehow get through Toronto, Cincy, and Chicago, the White Sox unscathed, I think they might lose to Houston coming up April 24th, 25th, 26th. But I predict they will lose at least once in Toronto. I'm going to say Saturday. Looking at the pitching matchup, Drew Rasmussen scheduled for tomorrow. He's really good. Shane McClanahan on Sunday. So they will suffer their first loss on Saturday. So they'll get to 14-0. They'll set the streak. It's currently tied with the Brewers, 87 Brewers and 82 Braves for that longest streak without a loss to start the year, at least in modern times. Rays going for 13-0, leading 9-3 over the Boston Red Sox. The other game I mentioned, rather entertaining. Two teams you would not maybe the O's, but Oakland A's and rather entertaining are words that don't usually go together, at least, you know, not in 2023. Tied up at 7, bottom half of the 8th between the Orioles and the A's at Camden Yards. How about Brent Rooker? You can't remember him, but he's a Twins legend. No longer on the Twins. He's on the A's now. 2-for-3, a couple home runs, and 5 driven in today for the Oakland A's. And truly a legend in his own right for the Milwaukee Brewers, Esteury Ruiz, who was sent to Oakland in that trade that brought William Contreras to Milwaukee and Sean Murphy to Atlanta. 3-for-3 with 2 RBI for the A's as they are tied up at the bottom of the eighth with the O's there out in Camden Yards. Other games on the schedule for tonight, the Phillies and the Reds from Cincinnati, 5:40 start time there. Twins and the Yankees. Oh, boy. Twins fans, I know that's not a comfortable spot to be in at any point, whether it's regular season or postseason. But Twins, Yankees tonight. Joe Ryan taking the hill for the Twins as they go up against New York from Yankee Stadium. Tigers and Blue Jays wrapping up that series at the Rogers Center in Toronto. Pirates and Cardinals. Jordan Montgomery on the hill for the Cardinals as they take on the Pirates and the Brewers out west in San Diego for an 8:40 start time out at Petco Park. The Rays have done it. They win 9-3. So the Rays are 13-0 on the season, completing the sweep of the Red Sox and looking ahead to that series with the Blue Jays here this coming weekend. A couple other baseball notes talk about here today from the major leagues, at least. Jordan Walker, speaking of the Cardinals, he extended his hitting streak to 12 games yesterday afternoon with a ninth-inning single against the Colorado Rockies. The ground ball hit means Walker has tied Eddie Murphy. Not that Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy, the baseball player from 1912, for the longest hitting streak to begin a career by a player age 20 or younger since 1900. Assuming Walker's in the lineup for the series opener against the Pirates today, he has played in every game this far in 2023. He's looking to break his tie with Murphy tonight. The updated list of those longest hitting streaks to begin a career by a hitter age 20 or younger includes Murphy and Walker, both tied for first, and Ted Williams for the 1939 Boston Red Sox, who had a 9-game hit streak to begin his career. So impressive stuff from Jordan Walker. Watched two Brewer games over the weekend when I was visiting family back in Wisconsin, and I think the kid's a real deal. Hoping to see him in person at some point this year, maybe down the road, but impressive prospect there for the St. Louis Cardinals. I know this was covered yesterday. Jared Kelenic, speaking of Wisconsin, the Waukesha native, yesterday hitting a mammoth home run 482 feet into the second deck of the center field bleachers at Wrigley Field yesterday. It is the longest by a Mariners player since StatCast launched in 2015. The second longest at Wrigley Field of the StatCast era, behind a 491-foot shot from Wilson Contreras in 2017. It is not the longest home run of the baseball season. Missed it by 3 feet. Got to get a little bit more power there, Jared. But Jared Kelenic, 482-foot home run yesterday against the Cubs, behind only Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees, 485 feet against the Giants earlier this year. So some impressive stuff there. Mariners salvaging a game there, winning 5-2 yesterday in Chicago. A little bit more baseball to get to. We'll talk about that in 60 seconds here on the Gym.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back at 2:54, Spencer at Sports with you here for a few more minutes on a Thursday. 319-366-1600. A little bit more baseball to talk about. How about those Cedar Rapids Colonels? Walk-off grand slam to start the series on Tuesday against Quad Cities, winning 10-5 last night. Emmanuel Rodriguez, is he going to be the next prospect I regret not seeing right away? I don't know how many times I've had opportunities. I think I've shared the story before. Had tickets. This is before I took this job. I lived and worked in Wisconsin. Had an opportunity to see Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, and Garrett Mitchell. Obviously in two different teams, but it was the West Michigan Whitecaps and the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers up in Appleton. And drive all the way to the stadium. And had been raining, not enough to make you think you canceled the game. They postponed the game. Couldn't get tickets to the next day. We had other plans. And by the next time we could go, Torkelson was like in AAA by then. Yeah. It happens. Get out and see him. Emmanuel Rodriguez, a home run last night, three-run shot, part of the 10-5 win. This Colonels team's got a lot of great prospects on it. Looking at the MLB pipeline prospect rankings. So you want to see some quality young talent in the Twins organization, go check them out here and get out early. Scott Wilson and folks over at the Colonels appreciating my promotion here on the station. But, some of those guys, they get hot early, they get the call up, and then you got to go to Wichita to try to see him, or St. Paul to try to see him, or maybe Minneapolis to try to see him. But Colonels and Quad Cities again tonight from Veterans Memorial Stadium. Iowa baseball with a win yesterday, too, beating UW-Milwaukee. Just Milwaukee, but they will forever, in my mind, be UW-Milwaukee. 12-1 in seven innings. Hawkeyes heading to Minnesota for Big Ten action this weekend. Playing a doubleheader tomorrow. Supposed to wrap it up with a single game on Sunday. Weather not supposed to be all that great Saturday up in the Twin Cities or across much of the Midwest for the reason for the change there. But Iowa with the win now 23-8, excuse me, on the year, beating Milwaukee in the midweek game yesterday at Banks Field. Wraps it up here on the show today. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 2. Coming up, gym class. They've got John Cooper talking some NFL draft today. Just after 3:30, Todd Brommelkamp on the way between 4 and 6 as well. Have a great rest of your Thursday here in KGYM.